Christmas is about the gift. And I am reminded when we share gifts together, when we sit and we exchange gifts on Christmas morning, some Christmas Eve, some Christmas afternoon, I'm reminded that it was God who so loved that He first gave. I'm sure many of you spent time like I have running around trying to find that gift that is fitting. It's fitting for someone that you know. It's something that they need or something that they want, and you know their life, and you're just kind of like, man, I've got the gift for you. Some of us run from shop to shop just kind of frantic, and we're doing the Christmas shuffle, and I don't know how many people I danced with this Christmas, just kind of like that little dance that we do in the middle of the aisles. Sometimes we come away empty-handed and unsatisfied. Sometimes we see someone else with a gift and we go, man, that's what I want. Where did you get that from? We don't often know where to find what we need most or want most. And not just Christmas, I find that life can be like that. Sometimes we spend time looking for that which we need most. And here's the good news. That's what Christmas is about. You know, every Christmas when you're offered a gift, you have a choice whether you're going to receive that gift or not. But it'd be a weird thing, and it's never actually happened to me, but I've thought about it. If I was to offer someone a gift and I knew exactly what they needed, I knew their life, and I knew that what I had prepared for them. And I'm so excited to see their eyes as I come towards them with this gift, and I say, I've got this for you. And they'd be like, well, what is it? And I tell them, here it is, it's a gift, and as you unwrap it and you engage in it, you're going to love it, and it's perfect for you. And they go, nah, I don't want that. I mean, how would you as parents react this morning if you'd spent all this time and effort and you got this beautiful gift and you give it to them, they look at you and go, nah, I don't want that. You give it to someone you love dearly. Husbands or wives, I want you to think what it'd be like to have that gift that you so value the person. You've gone out of your way. You've been so extravagant it seemed ridiculous, and you come and you present it and they go, nah, I don't want that. I might want it sometime. In fact, you know, why don't you put it away, maybe next year. I wonder how you'd feel. You see, God so loved the world that He gave. You know, in a world that is full of offense, and a world that is racked and separated, tortured by offenses, in a world where nations rise against nations and people groups against people groups because of offense, or families that won't call one another. You won't have a meal with them today because there's offense. Something someone has done, something someone said a long time ago. And we don't talk, and we're not going to call, and we don't send cards, and we've cut those people off. And we as humanity were separated from God because of offense, where we'd said, you know what, forget you, God. We'll do what we want to do, the way we want to do it, when we want to do it, and you will have no say in it. And God goes, but I love you. And in fact, I've got this gift for you. I'm coming to you. And in a world that's broken by offense, and in our relationship that's broken by offense, I've got this gift for you, and it's a gift called forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it's recorded this: in Him we have redemption through His blood. It's the forgiveness of our sin, of any offense. And it's in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore there is, listen to this, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit gives us life and has set us free from the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation's there. The old has gone, the new has come. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And God came and He goes, listen, I got a gift. It's a gift called forgiveness. And it's for you. It's perfectly shaped. It meets your every need. There's not one offense that is not coverable by this gift. It can restore broken families. It can restore broken lives. It can restore broken nations. It can restore a broken world in relationship with God. And God gave His Son and said, I offer you this gift called forgiveness. And here's what we're faced with. Do you say to God, God, I want Your forgiveness. I want that gift. This Christmas, I receive Your gift. Or do you look at Him and say, nah, not this year. Maybe you can pull that one out some other time, but appreciate the effort. I don't want that. And God comes and He says, in a world of turmoil, in the face of tomorrow, in the unrest of this world, in the unknown of today, I got a gift. I got a gift for you. It's a gift called peace. I know your needs. I know your turmoil. I know your fears. I know those places you hide away and you tremble and you shake and you don't want anyone to find them. You live in dread. Jesus came and He says, I got a gift for you. It's a gift of peace. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, it was the words the angels came with, their first words to the shepherds, the first holy declaration to humanity in the birth of Christ was this: glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor will rest. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God in Jesus Christ. John 14, I love what Jesus says to His friends. He says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give it to you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. And don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And Christmas was about peace with God and peace with one another and peace in our own minds and peace in our own hearts and peace that comes in restoration. And God came in Jesus and says, I've got a gift for you. I've got a gift for you. It's a gift of peace. Do you want it? Do you want peace? Or do we go, nah, put it away. I don't want your peace. Pretty darn happy, content, I make my own way in this world. I don't need you to come and give me that. I do it my way. I meditate my way. I center myself my way. I try and bring everything into line my way. That's the problem. It's my way. God says, I offer you forgiveness. I offer you peace. And that's the choice that we have. Do we accept it or do we go, nah? Yeah, there's a time that we live in that's pretty despairing. We're in a nation that where there are people, I just heard on the news again, surely you heard it, people that were committing suicide, farmers, because of the drought. It's a flow on now. There are those that are ending their lives in the despair of flooding. And life is broken around us. We see people in despair. We're in a day where things can be overwhelming, where darkness can crouch at the door, and God comes and he goes, I got a gift. I got a gift for you. Do you want it? It's a gift of hope. This isn't just a wishful thinking gift. This is a perfectly carved out, able to carry you in all situations, hope. Doesn't depend on the circumstances you're in. Doesn't depend on your life. Doesn't depend on you. This one depends on me. I've got a gift for you. It's called hope. Lamentations chapter 3, I love this. Jeremiah writes, I call this to mind and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him. For the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you might overflow with hope by the power of his Spirit. Hebrews 6:19. Love this. The writer says here, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, and it is firm and it is secure. Hope that is an anchor for your soul, that is firm and that is secure and is unshakable and unshifting and unchanging. Do you want it? Or do we look at God and go, nah, I don't need your hope. Try me again some other time. God, who gave his only son, Jesus, came into this earth that we might know forgiveness, that we might know peace, that we might know hope. But that also in a day that so often ends up more surviving than it does living. In a day when many only know the struggle of the mundane, and when many only know loneliness and isolation. Jesus came. He says, I've got a gift. I've got a gift for you. It's a gift of life. Not just breathing, not just existing, but fullness of life. That again doesn't depend on your circumstances, doesn't depend on your dwelling, doesn't depend on your riches, doesn't depend on your clothing, doesn't depend on your food. This is a life that flows from the inside. It's not the outside. You're used to making life happen from the outside in. Jesus comes and goes, I got a gift, I'll make it happen from the inside out. And when I give you this life, no one can steal it from you. No one can take it. John 10:10, Jesus himself said, the thief comes but to kill and steal and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, fully. A purpose for living. fullness of life that's not just waking up and going to sleep and waking up and going to sleep. It's living that gives you a reason to live every day. Do you want it? It's life. It's a choice. It's a gift. Life. Forgiveness. Peace. Hope. Life. He's offering them to you. Today. Or we're going to go, nah, I'll take my chances. Yeah, I'll leave that one. I'll leave that one hanging. I'll get back to you on it, God. Thanks for the generous thoughts you've sent towards me, but I don't want to engage in that. I don't need your forgiveness and I don't need to forgive. I don't need your peace. I don't need that hope. Doing right here myself. And I like life the way I've done it. Jesus comes and he says, then I'll tell you what. In a world that doesn't know much more than the grave. In a world where you are bound, and I just did a funeral 2 days ago. We're bound to what's called the second law of thermodynamics. What's that mean? You're in decay. We're going to die. Merry Christmas. I've got a gift. Life as God designed it. Eternal life. Everlasting life. Life fully restored to the way God designed it to be in the beginning. In his presence. I love the passage, Romans 6:23 says this, the wage of sin or the earnings of sin, it's death. It is going to be destruction. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Revelation 21:4, this is life. God will restore all things. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. The new has come. The Bible says there's a day that Jesus will come and he'll take those who are his own. To have life forevermore, fully restored to the way he prepared it in the beginning. Everything that you were originally created for, God says, I've got for you. It's a gift. Forgiveness, peace, hope, life now, and eternal life. Do we want it? I'm so glad that you're in this. I mean that. Hope, life, eternal life. It's God's gift in his Son Jesus, but then again, you have this choice. Or do you put it away and go, nah. Hold that one for me. Maybe right before this one terminates, I'll take you up on that. Things we never know, do we? We never know. Our friend who we did the service for this week went into hospital fully expecting to come out. They just came out differently than they'd expected. Days later, we were saying goodbye at a crematorium. God so loved the world, you, me, that he gave his Son to live in our humanity, to die a criminal death, to pay for our offenses, that forgiveness was provided, to restore relationship with man, that we might know peace with God. And he offers it all. It's a gift, really. It's no strings attached. It's a matter of you going, God, I receive that gift in Jesus. I recognize that I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. But I accept your forgiveness in Jesus. I accept your peace in Jesus. I accept your hope in Jesus. I accept life in Jesus. And I accept your gift of eternal life. And this morning, here we are, Christmas Day 2010. You may have accepted it before, but maybe you need to enact parts of that in your life. Maybe you walk in fear. And you need to come back and embrace the gift of peace. You might live in a home, in a family, in an extended relationship where there is unforgiveness. And I ask you today, do you choose to walk in the gift of forgiveness? Maybe you need to reinitiate that. Have you lost hope? Are you living in fear and dread? You need to take hold of Jesus afresh this morning. Have you lost the zeal for life and for living? Ask Jesus to reignite it. And there's an amazing truth. That when you make a decision to do things God's way, to accept Jesus' work in your life, to accept the gift of life, God's forgiveness, God's work changing you, shaping you. You may not believe this, but God celebrates over you. It might be strange for you to think, but the Bible says God celebrates over us. It says he looks across the earth for those whose hearts are towards him, that he can give you strength. But the angels gather around God. It's almost like God's going, look! Look, they're taking on the gift. They're accepting. And this party begins to erupt in heaven. And God goes, I initiated in your life. And this morning, as we close, that's what I want to leave you with, because you're faced with a choice. Some of you have made the decision. You've accepted that, but there are those here this morning that you haven't. You're here doing tradition. You're here out of respect for your mum and dad who dragged you out of bed early. You're here because this is what you do when you come on holidays to your grandparents or to your parents' place. Hey, this is a gift for you, every one of you. From the youngest here to the oldest here. And only you know where you're at. This morning, taking a gift is your choice. And I really believe there are people here who inside you're going, I know I need that. You have to do it yourself. We're going to close with two songs this morning. One that's just called Mighty to Save. I love the first verse that says, everyone needs compassion. And love that's never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. And he's the hope of nations. Verse 2 says, so take me as you find me, all my fears, my failures, and fill my life again. Give my all to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. As we sing this, I just put together some gift bags. You're sort of coming to our house here. It's just a little gift bag. I made up 100 of them. Because I reckon there's 100 people here that need to come and take a hold of the gift. And there's a little card here. And it just says Christmas 2010, and it'll fit in your wallet, your purse, you can keep it in your pocket. It says, I've chosen to accept the gifts of God in Christ. Forgiveness. Peace. Hope. Life. Eternal life. And at the bottom I put John chapter 3, 16 and 17. I'll read it again. This is how much God loves the world. He gave His Son. His only Son. By believing in Him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God did not go to all the trouble of sending His Son merely to point an accusing finger and tell the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put it right again. If you want to take a hold of that while this song plays, I'm going to invite you. There's another little thing in there, and this maybe is why you'll come and grab it. I just stuck a little party popper in there. Why? Because I reckon sometimes we don't really believe that God celebrates us. I reckon more of us tend to think that it's about this religious God who sternly folds His arms and points a finger and we hide ourselves from Him. But He says, come to me, all of you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you who are thirsty, hungry, come, those with no money, come, buy and eat. For His love covers a multitude of sin. His mercies are new every morning. And there's a series of verses I just attached to this. It says, look, your Savior's coming. And He brings His reward with Him. God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Jesus said, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God with the angels when one person returns to God. And Zephaniah says this, sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, be glad, rejoice with all your heart. For the Lord will remove His hand of judgment. At last your troubles will be over and you will fear disaster no more. And on that day the announcement to Jerusalem will be, cheer up, don't be afraid, for the Lord your God has arrived to live amongst you. He is a mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. With His love He will calm your fears and He will exult over you by singing a happy song. That seems very insignificant. But I reckon that's what we've got to get a hold of at Christmas time. Because there's a day coming where all heaven will rejoice with a heck of a lot more than that. Will we be part of it? Those gifts are here for your taking if you choose to. We're going to sing Mighty to Save. You can consider the words and come from wherever you are. And then we're going to close with one last carol. But maybe you can think as we go into this.